our devotion is entitled A Fool's Downfall, taken from Job chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. As we continue our study in this series of messages, It Is Well With My Soul, a devotional study from the book of Job. We are on Eliphaz's speech to Job, and he was the first of the three so-called comforter who came and visited Job in the time of his calamity. And Eliphaz here began his speech, and we have spent the last three Wednesday nights on what he has to say in chapter 4. Now we are at the beginning of chapter 5. And he is pronouncing Job as a foolish man, as a fool. And God is judging him. A foolish man's destruction. So you see here, Eliphaz sought to discomfort and sought to distress Job into confessing that he has been living a fool's life, and therefore now faces a fool's destruction. Someone can come to us during the time of our most difficult trial, right, to speak words, untrue words that can easily derail us in our faith if we are not grounded, rooted. We are not sure of what God is doing to us or doing for us in our life. But for Job, he was quite sure inside him what is it that God was doing. Although he could not explain it, but he trusted God. There was faith in his life. There was faith that he was exercising in his heart. And that faith will stand us through during the time of our trial. So two thoughts. Verse 1. Call for your righteous witnesses. These are the words of Eliphaz. If you are truly innocent, then call men who can vouchsafe for you that you are indeed a godly person. What has happened to you has nothing to do with God's judgment upon you. And from verse 2 to 5, Eliphaz were pronounced upon Job a fool's judgment. In other words, he's saying to Job that because you are living the life of a fool, therefore, today you are facing this calamity. Right? If you are Job, wow, and you are faced with such words, how would you feel? Well, you'll find that when we are going through trials, especially during the difficult moments as a believer, you'll find that it is not just a battle on the surface, right, but there is a deeper battle, spiritual battle that is going on. Satan, through Eliphaz, was trying to force a confession on Job. If Job would confess that he is indeed a fool, and that he has not been walking with God, following God, then Satan would have been able to go to the Lord and say, you see, this is the man that you have said to be a good man, a man of integrity. And God's testimony would have been impacted, right, of who God thought Job would be. But God has prepared the heart of this man, Job. in order that he may be able, by the grace of God, to withstand all the, we said, insults, all the accusations, all the allegations that has been placed upon, hurled at him, vehemently, mercilessly. And sometimes you find in life it happens. How do you handle such disparaging remarks? There are those who hear and said, "Wow, I cannot take it. I cannot take it." There are those who go into depression. There are those who have this wrongful allegations playing like a spoiled tape recorder in their mind, that they just go bonkers. But not for the believer. We must not succumb to such wrongful accusations and allegations that come upon us. Let us be sure of our footing. Let us be sure of our life, how we are living, where we stand before God, where we stand. Let us know ourselves so that we are able to lead the life that God would want us to lead, the life of faith. So this first thought, call for your righteous witnesses, verse 1 says, call now, if there be any that will answer thee, and to which of the saints wilt thou turn? So Job says that you call your lawyers, or you call your advocates, you call the man who would be able to defend you, who would be able to defend your integrity. Of course, in heaven we know that Job's heavenly father has done that. He defended Job against the attack of Satan. Which holy man of God is going to defend you? Any saint is able to vouchsafe for you? Eliphaz says to Job, surely there is none. And it read like the judgment upon the fool who disregarded God's reproof and instruction in Solomon's Proverbs. Do you think it like that? You remember last year when we began the year, we were studying the book of Proverbs. And this was what Solomon said to the fool, that if you will not follow the instruction of God and go on your own way, then destruction can come suddenly upon you. You remember that? So this is the kind of thought that Eliphaz is bringing upon Job, that you have been living that simple, foolish life of rebellion against God. And now comes your distress, now comes your fear. Hey, you remember Proverbs chapter 1 verse 22, the words of Solomon, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. This is what Eliphaz seemed to be alleging, right? That all his sickness, all his trouble, all his problems has come as a result, right, of him refusing God's way. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now, is Job a God-fearer? Right at the beginning, in the first verse of the text, our Lord tells us that Job is a God-fearer. But if you look at the argument that is being used by Eliphaz against Job, you find that it is very similar to the words in which Solomon gave here in Proverbs chapter 1. They would none of my counsel, they despise all my reproof, therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. The simple ones, the scorners and the fools are apt descriptions of those walking on the broad way who scorn and mock at the truth, enticed by the sinner, consenting to his persuasion. Why do you hate knowledge? Why do you hate the truth? Why should it be so? It is for our good, and yet we reject God's call. Eliphaz is saying to Job, you are such a one. You are such a one. Indeed, without the Holy Spirit to convict the heart of sin, the truth will not have foothold upon a man's heart. And when the Holy Spirit brings conviction to the sinner's heart, it will give no rest until the sinner surrenders. And so Eliphaz's thinking in his own heart that Job must have sinned was trying to force a confession, saying to Job that you better repent immediately. If not, your calamity would be worse. Then there are those whose heart the Lord hardens, who rejects the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. This, the Bible says, will receive no salvation. And there are those who can be listening to God's word day in, day out, month in, month out, but year in and year out. The message is urgent. And here, Job is being called a simple one. He's called a scorner, he's called a fool, without a change of heart. And here the Lord tells us how Job was such a man. Can Job fall into such a category? We say certainly not. He's not such a man. Job 1 to 5. Remember when we began the book, the description was given of Job's piety. Job 5 at the end, it says, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God. And what did Job do? Well, he would rise up early in the morning and offer burnt offerings for each one of his children as a mediator before God. He would pray for his children, and he does so daily, continually. And so you see that Job was a man with a wholehearted devotion to God. And what Eliphaz charged Job was unfounded. So we need to know where we stand before God. The Lord wants us to understand our position before Him, know and have a conviction in our hearts, so that, you know, when someone comes and says something to you untrue, you will not be so easily tossed, so easily affected, so easily discomfited. You know where you stand. You know what you are doing. So here Eliphaz is saying, God's long-suffering and patience for you, Job, has reached an end point. You have spurned the grace of God. You have spurned the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. You keep on sinning and judgment is coming, and judgment will come swiftly. And just as the Bible tells us of a man who refuses reproof, verse 21 of Job 1, because I have called and he refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Remember the rich man who fed sumptuously and dressed in purple, who the story that Jesus gave, and who died, and the beggar Lazarus, right? The rich man died and he found himself in hell. But Lazarus, right, did not have all the good things in this life. When he died, he was a believer. He found himself in heaven. So Eliphaz is alleging, right, that Job was like the rich man. You have lived your life wantonly. Right? Your wealth did not come because you have gotten them justly. Right? He did not have any regard for wisdom's warning. Right? This is what Eliphaz is saying to Job. There is no fear of God in his heart. And he has chosen not to walk with God. And we see here, right, how unthinkable, right, that a friend who is coming to comfort him would end up giving such strong, wrongful accusations, allegations against him. If you are in that kind of a position, wow, how to withstand, right? Your heart would palpitate very hard, hurt, very hurt. Job, you are a great sinner. Please repent. That's what he's saying. No one to defend you. Who can you call to defend yourself? Then from verse 2 to 5, the second thought, a fool's judgment. Because you have been living that foolish life, and therefore you deserve a fool's judgment. The wrath of God comes upon the wicked. For wrath killeth the foolish man, and envy slayeth the silly one. Right, so here Eliphaz says, the foolish man in his anger would commit folly, and envy causes a man to do silly things that he has to pay dearly for his folly. And you are such a foolish man, Job, and that is why all this have befallen you. Right, the word slayeth described here in verse 2 speaks about dying because of failure to pursue a moral life. And this is used in Proverbs 5 verse 23 and Proverbs 10 verse 21. Proverbs 5 23 says, he that die without instruction and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. And Proverbs 10 21, the lips of the righteous feedeth many, but fools die for want of wisdom. And so Eliphaz is charging him, right, that you are that silly one. Right? You are that the one that deserve what you have, what you are receiving. Well, this word slayeth is also described. That word there is an interesting word, right? That's the in the original is the word muth. I put there in the appendix too. Right? Here, it speaks about dying, not intended to be a natural aspect of being human. It came about through unbelief and rebellion against God. And so in Genesis 3 verse 4, the word is used of how Adam and Eve died. They died because of a moral failure. The Lord said to them, do not eat of the tree, of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or in the day that you take of it, you shall surely die. And that's the same word that is used when the Lord smote Nabal. Remember? 1 Samuel 25:37. Nabal was a man who refused David and his men subsistence when they used their services and then cast them aside. David wanted to kill Nabal. The wife Abigail stopped him. He realized it's not a wise thing. Let God handle. And God struck Nabal. Nabal died. So this was the story. Yeah? The execution of the offender in capital offenses cases. Right? The sons of Job from the violence of a mighty storm. So here, Eliphaz is saying, you know, your children died. And that is a judgment from God. So this was what Eliphaz was doing, to pronounce a fool's judgment upon Job. That you have lived that foolish life, and therefore you deserve it. Right. And the word killeth in verse 2 is another word. The word harak, which speaks of killing, right? In the case that is use of Cain killing Abel. Ruthless violence of men against men. So what Eliphaz is charging Job is that you have been doing those things that are wrong in the sight of God, and therefore these judgments have come upon you. Verse 3. I have seen the foolish taking root, but suddenly I cursed his habitation. It is noticed that Eliphaz based his assessment on his observation. That means he sees what's going on in people's life, right? And he tries to draw some conclusions from it. But you realize that, you know, case by case, person to person, all varies. So you cannot be using one person, right, and use it to judge another person. So here it's being given through Job, Eliphaz's words, how erroneous is this kind of how erroneous such observation can be. And so we have to be careful not to be involved in this kind of Eliphaz type of allegations. How could he be so conclusive? Just because he has seen a wicked man in his prosperity, that it must be God's judgment on Job. But you realize that, right, as a man, we can be very one-tracked, you know, in our mind. We may not be able to see all aspects, and it can happen to us. So we have to be very careful not to be like Job, be like Eliphaz. Right. Adam Clark, the commentator, he gave a very good observation at this point. He says, I have seen the foolish taking root. Right? I have seen wicked men for a time in prosperity and becoming established in the earth. But I well knew from God's manner of dealing with men that they must soon be blasted. In other words, judgment will come I even ventured to pronounce their doom, for I knew that in the order of God's providence, that is inevitable. I cursed his habitation. In other words, he's saying that, you know, you can't be, from what you are doing, right, you cannot go on living like that. Does it not read like Psalm 37? Psalm 37 with Job as the wicked character. So you see, it's all jumbled up. Job was a righteous man. He was pronounced as unrighteous. But it's not wrong that judgment would come, right? In fact, Psalm 37 says that, verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. Now, this is what Eliphaz is saying to Job. Right? You will perish. You will certainly perish. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth again upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of an upright conversation. You see, it's all upside down, huh? Their sword shall enter into their own heart. Their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. But Job was not such a man. He was one who helped others in their distress. It was not a correct assessment. How flawed can our judgment get? Here you see a classic example of jumping into conclusion, pronouncing an unrighteous judgment. Verse 4. His children are far from safety, and they are crushed in the gate. Neither is there any to deliver them. Job has lost all his 10 children. Calamity has come to them. A foolish man will receive a foolish man's. And this is what Eliphaz is saying to Job. Right, look at your children. Look at what happened to them. This is what I observed, the plight of foolish man. He is judged with the destruction of his children. His children are far from safety. Right? In other words, his posterity shall not continue in prosperity. Right? Again, I quote Clark. Ill gotten, ill spent. Whatever is got by wrong must have God's curse on it. So here, what Eliphaz is saying to Job is that you have done wrong. Right? That's why all this is happening to you. Okay. And verse 5. Whose harvest the hungry eateth up, and taketh it even out of the thorns, and the robbers swallowed up with their substance. Perhaps Eliphaz was alluding to the way Job lost his possessions to intruders. Eliphaz attributed it to God's judgment upon him for living a foolish life. His gains were unjustly gotten, therefore what he sows, he reaps. Remember, if you just read Job 1 verse 15 and Job 1 verse 17, you can come to a conclusion like that. Right? You don't look at the context that it was that of the conversation between God and Satan, Then, you know, just reading that sentence, you can jump to a conclusion like what Eliphaz would say. Job 1 verse 15 says, "And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee." Verse 17 of Job 1. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, "The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell you all this." And so here it is said, it's given to us what was described as robbers coming to eat up, take away the harvest, because anyway, all his gains were not legitimate. Therefore, it is no wonder that all this happened to you. What a wrong conclusion Eliphaz has drawn. A frightening audacity to even articulate it against Job. We know from Job 1 and 2 and Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2, Job chapter 42 that it was not true. As such, we realize that such things can happen to God's people. It can happen to you. And we say this, that may God's grace come to defend his people against every wrongful accusation. And indeed, we need to cultivate the kind of a faith that God gave to Job, that he was able, despite handling all the physical infirmities that he's facing, all the losses that he has, he's suffering, then the abuse that came from his family, servants run away, and now his friends, those whom he thought would be those who he can count on during this time of distress to comfort him. It turned out to be otherwise. So may we learn from Job's story to have a kind of a faith that is able to withstand such wrongfulness, such wrong that is done upon us. May the Lord be gracious to protect and keep his people. Amen.